Right, so welcome along. We've got loads of questions, so thank you to everybody who sent the questions in. Terry is in Gijón at the moment, and I'm in Yerevan. And by the miracle of modern technology, it will sound like we're sitting right next to each other at a table. But no, definitely not. So thank you to everybody who sent the questions in. Terry, are you well? We'll get to Spain. There's not a lot, because by the time people listen to this, they'll have played the Faroe Islands game, so it might have changed a little bit. But we've got some Spain questions. Terry's about to commentate that game.
I was in Belgrade last night.
Yes, how was nice trip to Belgrade? Yep. You must be tired. Cal Ali says, you're going to depress us here. What exactly is holding up the La Liga TV deal for UK viewers? Well, there's some good news, is that our La Liga contacts tell us it will be done. We don't know more than that, I suppose, at the moment. Fingers crossed it's a good solution. That's all I can say, I guess.
Yeah, I think the deal is going to be announced this week in time for the weekend's games. And there's some cracking games. Barcelona-Valencia is the one that springs to mind as the big game of the weekend. Two of the top four from last season, the winners and fourth place. So that'd be interesting to watch, hopefully, on a channel that a lot of people are watching that suits everybody. Other than that, we don't know anything, and we don't. We never know anything. I mean, I did three games for ITV commentary recently, and I was asked the first game of the season. I got an email on the Thursday afternoon asking if I would be available if they got the game on the Saturday. And I got confirmed it was Friday night, the first game. So I got an email on the Wednesday afternoon, and on Thursday morning got an email confirming that the game was going ahead on ITV. So that's the situation there that we don't know. We're not privy. We're a couple of floors down from where those decisions are normally made.
Yeah, and basically La Liga are happy to deal at the last minute, aren't they? That they think that's okay, and other leagues don't. The Premier League deal was done a year. I know that was their domestic Premier League deal, but it was done a year in advance. So they knew how much money they had. So the broadcasters knew what they had. La Liga, I think more like a salesman trying to do a deal at the last second.
Yeah, I've no idea. And we obviously specialise on La Liga. Hmm. But the German football and the French football seems to tick along nicely from one deal to the other in this country. The TV rights. The Italian has been a bit hit and miss as well lately, isn't it? I think the Italian and Spanish last season both went with 11 Sports. That didn't work, and Italian is now on Premier Sports. So, it's not suitable for people like, you know, that love watching La Liga football, and for us that love working on it. So, we shall see this week.
Yeah, but there are two important things. We want people to watch it, and we want to make some money out of it. We're available for hire, by the way. Whoever gets the rights, it's the right place to go. There's a way of looking at it. All right, let's get on with the question. Right, good old Ryan has sent this question
in. That's the end of the podcast. Yeah. That's the only reason we did it this week.
Ryan has sent this question in three times. Finally we're doing a questions-only one. Can you ask Terry how the role of sporting director differs across clubs in Spain? Who are the best three sporting directors? I don't think you have to be that specific. Now, who are good British sporting directors? How does that role compare to the Spanish? It's a big one, so
Think that the difference in role of the sporting director is it's been a long-term position in Spain. So this isn't something in Spain that's just materialised the last few years. This has been going on 20, 30 years, possibly longer at some clubs. It's a traditional role. And the difference in the UK in the Premier League is that we still have, the majority of clubs don't really have a genuine sporting director. They'll have different positions that play part of the role of a sporting director. But the role of the sporting director in Spain is responsible for policy from the club to and players that they're going to sign, players that they're going to sell, and most importantly, that the sporting director is responsible for appointing the manager. Mm. So it's not the job of the directors, it's the director of the sporting director. He is delegated and given that responsibility. People might ask, well, if he keeps getting it wrong and he keeps having to sack the managers, then, you know, where does his responsibility lie? Eventually they get the sack as well. So they are responsible for a number of things. It's interesting how it works, and I've gone into it in detail. A manager or a coach of a club will be appointed by that director of football, and the coach will tell the director of football what positions he feels that the team needs strengthening. The director of football then will come up with some options, and specifically that the coach will give him a type of player that he's looking for. So it may be there's all different types of centre-forwards. He might want a big one, a small one that's quick. He might want a winger that's right-footed that can play on the left. There'll be a real good description of the type of player that he's looking for. Now, in this day and age, managers don't, in the Premier League, and probably haven't done in Spain for a while, do the old-fashioned scouting job themselves, where I was watched by probably all the managers that I played for that bought me, and probably watched me at some stage, maybe once, twice, three times. Those managers used to go and watch reserve games. They would go and watch lower league games. They would watch everything they possibly could to try and cover all bases, because they were the only person responsible for bringing in a player. So it's their job to identify the player, identify what he was worth, and then try and persuade the club to give you that manager permission to go with him and buy the player. Now it's different people involved. And the sporting directors tend to work with the manager, and it's in their interest too, because if they're appointing a manager, they want their manager to be a success. There's nothing for them to be gained if two or three managers down the line they continue to fail, then you lose your job as sporting director. So, and what happens then is, I think ultimately you get players, only the manager will have the last say. So you'll never force in a manager, a coach in Spain to sign a player that he's not going to play. That just defeats the whole object of the project. So they will work together, and then get the coach will be delivered a player of the type that he wants, that he has had the final say. There may be two or three choices. He picks the one he wants. The club get the deal done, and the manager gets the player that he's pleased with, and hopefully will play and do well. So I think there's, in England, in the Premier League, I don't think there's one sporting director that has the power to hire and fire a manager. And then the job of bringing in players ranges from the owners, the chairman, the chief executives, head of recruitment, the managers in some cases. There's no specific person in the Premier League, at majority of clubs. There's no uniformity in terms of, if you want to buy a player in England, you'll be talking to a sporting director. No, you're not. It could be the chairman, chief executive, owner, sporting director of football, head of recruitment, the manager. It's a whole range of people. So I think there's still a long way to catch up, and in what I think should be. And also, the last thing, I don't go too long, the last thing is the manager of the clubs in England, they haven't seen the young players, in most cases, play too many times. The sporting director will watch everything he can involving young players. And that one of those players that he might recommend to the coach in Spain might be a young 18-year-old that's playing in the B team or playing in the youth team. And he'll ask the coach to have a look at him. And then he might try and persuade him that, no, we don't need to go out and spend 20 million. We think this player is... Yeah. It's how Sergio Ramos, Jesus Navas got into the team at Sevilla, that the Monchi, the director of football, persuaded the manager then, I think it was Caparrós, that these two young boys in the youth team should be worthy, considered to be in the first team. And that's what happened, and then the rest has followed on from there. So that's a good example of how it works.
Hamza, right, following on from that then, Hamza says, after Fati's goal in two games and Carlos Perez running the team, injuries aside, is Valverde's reputation for not giving youngsters a run in the team, giving his track record at Bilbao and Valencia? I believe he is implementing, if you are good enough, you are old enough, sort of thing.
I slightly disagree. First of all, I'd say it's incredibly hard for young players to break into the big clubs in Europe. It's hard for any youngster to break into any elite football team. But to break into Barcelona and Real Madrid, and then for us to complain that they're not giving youngsters a chance. Every now and then a generation comes along. At Barcelona, there was, under Pep, Busquets and Pedro appeared from nowhere, didn't they? Yeah. Xavi and Iniesta were already there. Carlos Puyol was already there. Messi was already there. So it kind of gave a false sort of representation of how many young players Pep brought in. These young players under Valverde wouldn't be playing if the others were fit. So it's not a question of he's decided to a change of policy, he's going to bring in young players. He's only playing them because they have injuries.
But they could sign backup players, couldn't they? They could spend 20, 30 million. Or, bearing in mind, you know guys are going to be unfit at some point. Do you leave your squad thin enough that you give Fatty and Carles?
I think it's always a problem to any club, any team, when the injuries are all in one position. And I think when you lose Messi, Suarez, Dembele, you probably feel if in normal circumstances, you're normally covered, aren't you?
So will we not see Fatty again?
No, I think genuinely, I'm really excited by what we saw. I have to temper it with the fact that he's only 16. But there will be a plan now for him to become the next superstar of Barcelona. So I'm hoping, he hasn't even played for the B team, which is extraordinary. He's jumped through that. So I'm hoping there's going to be a plan that when Messi, Suarez, Dembele and Griezmann are all playing together and there's no room for him in the team or in the squad, I'm hoping there's going to be 2 or 3 days a week where he's training with the first team. That is, you know, there is a method there that to bring him through. And by the age of 18, 19, he's back on the bench on a regular basis. And then begin to see more and more of him. But I genuinely think a player of his talent, extraordinary what he did at the age of 16. I'm really hopeful that there, and I'm pretty sure there will be a plan that, you know, his progress isn't going to be stopped because he's now going back to the youth team at Barcelona when the others are fit.
Craig says, I've never understood the Neymar transfer negotiations. Me too. Was Barcelona genuinely interested, or was this a blocking move? It was this a slow, dull, unfolding transfer non-story this summer. So they would have bought
it. I thought it was going to happen, did you? I genuinely thought it would happen. When he made it clear he wanted to come back, my opinion was he shouldn't have gone in the first place. When we were podcasting, I said that right from the start. Why would you do it? Why would you leave? Couldn't believe the reasons he chose to leave. He wanted to be the big fish in the small pond. He wanted to win the Ballon d'Or. It was money. Yeah. It was money. He went for a huge transfer fee.
Yeah.
I'm irritated by the transfer fee because every other transfer fee since then has followed on.
Yeah, should have just ignored it.
I was hoping it was going to be a one-off.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing, you know, no one's batting an eyelid when someone goes for 80 million then. Whereas prior to Neymar going for 200, what was the game? It wasn't even 100, was it?
Yeah, left by, it was, well, Bale and
80, 90,
and
then to 220.
Yeah.
So I was hoping that would be a one-off, but it hasn't. And everything else now has followed suit. So that irritates me as well. And if I was Barcelona, Messi, some of the players, Messi, Suarez, they wanted him back. Players shouldn't be allowed to call the shots. Mm. And if I was Barcelona, whilst I would have loved Neymar back in La Liga, if I was Barcelona, I would have said, no, you made your choice. You live with it. And left it, especially if it was going to cost them everything they got to bring him back, maybe more.
So they weren't playing a clever game?
I don't think so.
They just got, it sort of hung out for them, and they, like a fish, they tried to grab it, and then thought, oh, well, we haven't got it.
Yep, I genuinely think they tried. Mm. It was clear they made offers of money and players, and it's upset. They've got to deal with the fallout. There's players at the club now that didn't leave that were used. Rakitic is the big example. It probably should have been done quick or not.
Yeah,
it should have been over and done with. It shouldn't have dragged on and left a lot of people affected by it. And of course, we had the interest of Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid were ever. I think if they're going to go for a PSG player, it will be Mbappe. Mm. And it should be, if I'm being honest.
One more Barcelona question, Stu. Hey guys, what do you think of Nelson Semedo? Natural replacement for Alves, but doesn't seem to be given the licence to go wide and right as often as Alba does, obviously. On the other side, seems odd to hold him back, given Messi needing a decoy on that side.
Well, it was interesting in the last game at Osasuna, where he was taken off again at half-time and Sergio Roberto put back to right back. I thought we'd seen the last of that. So that was a concern. I agree. I think he's a really good player. We don't know if it's his choice to hold back or Valverde's. We don't know. I think by now we know that he's capable of pushing forward. And I would imagine that Valverde would like him to, because it seems strange as well. In that game when Barcelona were struggling to win, struggling to get the draw, and they wanted to be more attack-minded, 1-0 down at half time, weren't they? That he chose to make that change and put Sergio Roberto on as he must think is a more attacking right back. He has the attributes, he's pacey, he's athletic, he's very fit. So I think I would like to see him given more belief by the manager rather than criticism of Nelson Semedo. I still think he thinks the manager doesn't trust him. That was exemplified by being brought off at half-time against Osasuna.
Yeah, he's not as bad as people on Twitter make out, is he? But nor is he a world beater.
No.
But you know, he's got potential. I'm with you. Right, Real Madrid question before we break. Mark says, given Real Madrid's current form, do you think Zidane is ready for the trip to Paris? Do you see Gareth Bale starting? So, you know, short-term Real Madrid question, what's happening, where they're going?
Aren't they ready for the trip to Paris? Nowhere near it, but they could win it. They've got fantastic players. Will Gareth Bale start? Depends on how they do. And then the next game, they've got Levante at home at the weekend. He's suspended. If they win 4-0, Hazard comes back in and scores a couple of goals. The goals, it might be the last we see of Gareth Bale again. It's been an extraordinary summer for him. Out, by all means, there was no return for him. Yet he finds himself back in the team at the start of the season, playing well, scoring goals. But I couldn't hazard a guess in what's going to happen next in the Gareth Bale Zidane Real Madrid episode.
Right, we're going to try and chase those seagulls and the crow away while we take a quick break, and we're back with more questions about Athletic Club next. Yeah, welcome back. Thank you for joining us, by the way. We need to get on and do the Patreon soon and get ourselves some money. If there was an advert, it was probably some very prestigious company that's paying us 5p for those ads. So there we are.
And they're split between...
yeah, that's split between the whole team, 15 people working on the show. Right, Joe says, if Villarreal keep Calleja for the whole season, where do you think they'll finish? But no one stays the season. The only one, Sean Dyche, was allowed to finish a season and get relegated, wasn't he, at Burnley?
Yeah.
But no one else is allowed to finish a season, are they?
No.
He'll be gone if they're in the relegation zone.
Yep, and I'm not convinced they shouldn't have been last year.
No.
I wish I could say I'm convinced they won't be this year, but I'm not. Because he's manager. Mm. He's... just decisions in the last game, he got away with murder.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, you're looking and thinking, he's a genius. Because it was against Real Madrid, I'll go through it as quickly as I can. His first change was to take off his most dangerous attacking player in Chukwueze.
Yeah.
And he brought on Ontiveros. Ontiveros then swapped wings with Moy Gomez. Now Moy Gomez was playing up against Ferland Mendy, who was really impressive. And it was a good battle between Chukwueze and Mendy. So you're thinking, well, if Chukwueze couldn't get the better of Mendy, how's Moy Gomez? Well, Moy Gomez is a different player entirely. So he went and played in a more central midfield role. So it gave Mendy a different problem. He didn't make the most of the fact Moy Gomez wasn't chasing him back, which Chukwueze was doing. Then his next change was to take off Ekambi and put on Anguissa, defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
So I'm working on the game and thinking, he's holding on to the draw at the time. And he put Cazorla as second striker. And it kind of worked. Anguissa did all right. And Cazorla, for about 10 minutes, was able to get on the ball, run out of steam, and then he was forced into bringing on Carlos Bacca for Cazorla. Mm. So he ended up back with two up front. And when you see the goal, it's Mario Gaspar's attacking down the flank because he's got room outside of Moy Gomez, who isn't there. Ontiveros, it's crossed across to the far post. Ontiveros has the... whips it back in across goal. Moreno has the attempt, which is... Bacca has the diving header, which is saved. And Moy Gomez gets the follow-up. So it's all involved. And it turned out to be a stroke of genius. But I'm convinced that when he took off Ekambi and put Anguissa, it was a classic Calleja move to hold on to a draw against Real Madrid.
You know, that's one of the things I really love about football, is that we have a whole industry of people who analyse it, and experts like you. And then... so much of it just is a bit random in the end.
Yeah.
You look at all of it and you think, this should happen, and then you think, actually, that, how did that happen?
Yeah, we had eight goal scorers last week to come off the bench.
Yeah, right.
In the last round of La Liga games. Is that good management, bringing them on, or is it bad management, not playing them from the beginning? So it is. That's why every game is different, every week is different, and, you know, it's why, thankfully, I can still nick a living out of doing it.
Right, a couple of Athletic questions.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Antonio says, unpopular opinion. It's not an unpopular opinion. I think Athletic will qualify for the Champions League. JR, how far off is Iñaki Williams from a call-up for La Roja?
It can't be far, and I think Ander Kappa is the closest. Mm. His form this year has been remarkable, and I don't think anyone's nailed down that right-back position yet.
Yeah.
Carvajal has been the established right-back for Spain, but we're seeing Jesus Navas get more playing time. And I kind of think Ander Kappa is a cross between the pair of them. He's not as quick as Navas. He's not as good a defender as Carvajal, but boy, he gets up and down that
he's
flank.
Fit, isn't he? Yeah.
He's fit, he's strong. Mm. Technique-wise, probably the best crosser out of the three of them. So I think he's not far away from getting them, rightly so. Iñaki Williams, we're seeing uncertainty towards the striking positions for Spain. No Costa, no Morata in the recent squad. Rodrigo, Moreno playing on a regular, I don't think he's really. Alcacer has got his goal scoring record to fall back on the country for Spain. So I think there's a lot of positions up for grabs in the Spain squad, and why not Iñaki Williams breaking through and getting an opportunity then when he has to take it?
Right, there's a few questions on Spain. I'll just put one more to you, though, because Daniel says, it's a bit of a theoretical one, this one. The Spain national team isn't as strong as it's been in the last 10 years, so if you could take one player from over the past decade and put him into the squad... He says, why is it David Villa? So he's answered his own question.
Oh, no, I can only think of two.
Go on.
Xavi and Iniesta. We hadn't spoken about that before. And probably everybody's saying the same listening to the podcast.
I guess his point is probably the position that you need.
Yeah.
But on sheer quality. But if you're only allowed one, we're not going to get into
it. And control of the game, though.
Yeah.
Control of the game. And now they've lost David Silva. So those three have gone, and you're looking at a similar player that can come in and control the game. Xavi, we knew, did it. He linked with Iniesta. I think Spain, possibly that's the position they still lack. Busquets is doing it, slightly deeper. I've seen signs that Sal can do it as well.
Yeah.
Now, when we say controlling the game, that doesn't mean beating three players every time you get the ball or defence splitting pass. It's what Busquets does, it's what Sal does, it's what Xavi could do, and a little bit more. And of course, Iniesta, they know what to do, the right time to do it. Don't give away possession. That's the type of player I still think Spain would like.
The best thing I ever did on Twitter was a result to one of these questions that one of our guys sent us was Xavi or Iniesta.
Yeah, I know.
Put it on Twitter, and it got over 1,500 people responding, and it was 50-50.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely
good.
50-50. That's
perfect.
Yeah. Right, another depressing question. James, why has the owner of Malaga left it to rot? We've got an answer. Qataris have more pressing issues at the moment. He's a spoilt child with a toy he lost interest in. And there was another one mentioning another one mentioning the fact that he didn't get his way with the development. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
I think the issue now is slightly different. I don't think it's a case of him not putting money in. I think it's to do with financial fair play and salary cap in the second division.
Yeah.
Because who went there? They couldn't fit him into their
so he
cap.
Went, sat there, and then was effectively released.
Yeah, and they couldn't fit him into the
Wilver.
Yeah, he was just too expensive. Yeah. So, and it wasn't because the club didn't want to pay him. It was because, same as the American sports, the salary cap is there, and they couldn't fit him into their budget.
Still incompetent, though, isn't it?
Yes,
to
totally.
To sign the guy until you... And not
exactly.
Know
yeah.
Pay him.
Yeah. No. Totally. He's gone somewhere else.
It's Wilver.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is an odd one, anyway.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, as we say to Wilver, he could have gone and earned more money than that. I think at a bigger club, couldn't he? Ocasek?
Yeah. I would have thought there's a number of La Liga clubs that could have done far worse than sign Okazaki.
Yeah. Right. So thank you to everyone who sent in the questions about that. Right, Monty. Who do you think has done the best and worst business of the summer? He says Celta the best, Real Madrid the worst, Athletic Club keeping everyone promising.
That's the easiest job going, isn't it? The Athletic Bilbao scout. You haven't got to travel far. You haven't got to waste your time watching foreign leagues.
Yes.
You just go on Google and find Basque football players and see which ones you don't know about.
Pop over and say Ander Herrera every 6 months.
So best. I don't agree with Celta, and we're 3 weeks in.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to understand that we need to be further down the line to see who's had the best.
But,
you can't just say on a chart, Real Madrid have spent over 300 million, it's good or bad, we don't know yet. Mendy looked all right in his first game that I saw. We haven't seen anything in Militao. We trust Hazard's going to be a, you know, what he is. Celta Vigo, I'm not sure, because they had no problem. It looks exciting. Rafinha, Denis Suarez, Aspas, Santi Mina. They didn't have any trouble scoring goals last year. So, Maxi Gomez and Aspas got more than enough goals, best part of 40 between them.
Yeah.
And they were still in a relegation battle. So, I would like to see, over a longer period, whether the changes they've made at the back have made them stronger. Otherwise, yeah, it could be great to watch going forward, which they were last year, but they still conceded too many goals. So it's too early for us to call. I think before the next one, next transfer window, we then can assess it and say, you know, their transfer window has been good. Yeah. Their last one wasn't good. but 3 weeks in, we're still seeing, you know, players barely played yet in La Liga that clubs have signed.
And Sevilla always strike, because they always, because was it 13 in the end?
I think I read 18. 18 in and 18 out. Because it's so confusing, because there's loans in and loans out.
Yeah.
And they count as one, and then they count as coming in, then they count as going out. They're players we don't recognise, but there are still a transaction. It's going to be, it's going to take us halfway through.
It's too much, because
Javier Hernandez is an exciting signing, I think.
But they signed so many players that you could make out, you know, you could say, oh, look, they're a success. There's three players who did well.
They've signed De Boer, haven't they? They've bought and want to sell him.
Yeah.
They try to sell him before the window closed.
Yeah.
I wasn't even sure that was allowed.
No.
I know there's a restriction on how many you can play for in a season.
That, but it happened.
But they're on the verge of doing
it. Someone else has moved in the same window.
And they paid big money for him. He scored a lot of goals in the Bundesliga last year. Hasn't had a game, and they were trying to sell him on or loan him.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. I think that's a breakdown there. I don't know whether he was signed before Lopetegui got the job. Monchi took over. He might have been one of those, because he seems like he's been there ages already because he was signed quite a while ago. But Lopetegui obviously doesn't fancy him, won't play him, and Monchi's been left to pick up the mess of it.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Harold says, please talk about Fekir and Betis.
Love to.
He's
similar to Carvalho, where Carvalho was always hinted at coming to the Premier League. Fekir was as well. And I've got to say, both of them are Betis. It's great to see a club like Betis.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say stealing clubs like that from the Premier League, because if the Premier League clubs really genuinely wanted to go through the deal, then it would have happened. But, you know, thankfully the Premier League have missed out on those two players. I mean, Carvalho's been there a while. But Fekir looks a really good addition to not only Betis, but to the league.
Owen, what region of clubs is the most feared, dangerous, exciting this season? He did his little map.
Which region?
I don't know.
Well, the Basques. There's a lot of clubs in the Basque area now.
Yeah. And it's got that
Osasuna come into that category as well, which is a new addition.
Yeah.
Osasuna, Athletic, Real Sociedad, Eibar, Alaves.
Yeah.
That's a lot of clubs for a region. Andalusia used to have more of a representation, didn't it?
Yeah, so it's not a strong time.
Not Malaga. Well, like Granada are back.
Yeah.
I would go to Balearics.
Well, it depends. Where do you put them in? Because I think on his map, he had them in Catalonia, but it's nearer to Valencia, isn't it? So you could put them anywhere. That's it, Owen. That's all you're getting.
I tell you what we do get, though, in the regions. You get different traits
of
teams. Yeah. You know, the Andalusians have a style. The Basques have a style. We have teams in a lot of teams in and around Madrid. We do over the years, don't we? The Rayos, Getafe, Leganes, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid. So, no, it's a... I find you do get different types of players from the different regions.
Right. I've got a very long question from Omar that's going into too many, so I'm just going to take one bit out of it and combine that with Neil's. Is this the year Atleti win the league? And Neil says, how many points will Atleti win the league by?
They've got a chance. Three games in. They've overcome this little three-game spell where things can go wrong. Which have gone wrong for Barcelona in terms of dropping points, injured players. Likewise, Real Madrid, same thing. Injured players, dropping points. It's a good advantage to have at this stage. The last time they won the first three games, they won the league. And they're making a big case of that in Spain. They will take belief from the first 3 weeks because lots of new players, two new full-backs for starters, pretty much a different back four entirely. They kept Oblak working out a system in midfield. João Félix looks great at the moment. Costa looks back to his best, albeit we've only seen him do that in one game. Hopefully he does maintain consistency. Have they got a chance? Oh, 100% they've got a chance this season. Did I think they would before the season started? Probably not, because of the amount of changes. I'm just pleased. It looks like we're going to have the three again. You know, we had a long period.
That's if Real Madrid.
I'm assuming they'll sort themselves out. Based on the fact that we can talk about their transfer system, but their transfer window.
They've still got
great players. If you know, but we never know what's going to happen at Real Madrid.
Yeah. Right. Rich says, you can give a quick answer on this if you like. Thoughts on La Liga looking to bring the transfer window to before the season starts, just when the EPL are considering shifting it back?
It's...
Which do you prefer?
The one before the starts, but it has to be uniformed across Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't have this.
The Premier League got away with it. Because of the Premier League's financial power, it gets away with going closing first doesn't it? Because there aren't many clubs can come and bully a player from a Premier League club.
No.
Chelsea obviously knew the writing was on the wall with Hazard, so he went early in the piece, didn't he? But it's not like Real Madrid could just go and take Pogba because they've got the muscle to do so financially. They haven't.
But it should be uniformed.
Yeah.
It has to be uniformed. It's even a disadvantage in Europe. I know English teams were brilliant last year in Europe, but it can be a disadvantage in Europe. I mean, if, for instance, you get a player that gets injured in the second week of the season in the Premier League, that you can't replace him.
Yeah.
So you've got to go through the group stages in the Champions League without a replacement.
Yeah.
If that happens in Spain, Germany, Italy, France, any of the other countries, someone gets injured in the second week of the season, they can get a replacement and sign him up for the Champions League group
stages. The difficulty is, in the hotter countries, they start the league a bit later.
Yep.
So that's the problem,
isn't it? Italy was a couple of weeks later, wasn't it? Spain was a week later. I just think it just needs to be uniform.
Find an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Why not the first of August?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you haven't done it, then unlucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you know that's when it closes, tough.
Yeah.
Do work in July.
Yeah.
They think they are.
Scottish HK Food, why oh why do we have an international break 3 weeks into the season? And then another one next month. I hope it's international weeks.
It happens every year.
Yeah.
It just gets going, it stops, it starts. Not only after this international break, we have the Champions League and Europa League starts as well.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much straight in before the next international break.
That's all right. We get used to it, don't we?
I've got no problem with it. Yeah. It's not ideal for a manager to have an international break this early in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, talking 3 weeks in La Liga, was it 4 or 5 weeks in the Premier League?
Yeah, anything.
We've already had cup games in the Premier League as well.
Anything to peg back the giant clubs a bit and give the others a bit of a go.
Yeah.
Because all the rule changes, every time they think of a rule change, it's always for the big clubs to benefit from, isn't it?
So, yeah.
You know, if a situation turns up that actually benefits the smaller clubs.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, live with that. Right, last question. I haven't given this enough thought. Christopher, which English, British player do you think would benefit most from a stint in La Liga? While you're thinking, it just occurred to me, someone like Jordan Henderson, one of those midfielders. When Dani Ceballos has gone to England, he's the kind of player that English fans love, but for some reason English clubs never produce.
Yeah.
That really clever, scheming midfield player. So I would love to see. It's good that young English players, you know, a few of them are going to Germany.
Yep.
So that's good. And Trippier, hats off to him for going to Atleti. I would like to see England's best midfielders, most promising, probably maybe younger than Jordan Henderson.
I was going to say that would be my reservation, but someone that we might get the benefit of, other than at the end of his career becoming a better player.
So maybe Madison Mount.
They would be the type, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That type of player. I think I wouldn't disagree with that. And then you could throw Dele Alli into that type of player as well.
Yeah.
We do have a fortune in England to have some of those players now that can play that role. You just trust and hope that the clubs they play for continue to use players like that as opposed to going back to making him into Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
To make the example easier.
Yes, yes. Right, all due respect to Jordan Henderson.
No, exactly. Yeah, Jordan Henderson is an old. He's not past it. He's a fantastic footballer. But he's probably set in his ways, if that's the right way to explain that. You're not going to change him too much now.
Yeah, yeah. And he's probably not going to leave Liverpool, is he? Because they like him at Liverpool.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
But there we are.
Captain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, European champion.
Yeah.
All of that. Yes. Anyway, so there we are. Thank you very much for all the questions. We'll be back. We'll be talking about football. And we might even have watched it, Terry. That's the good news. So make sure you join us again. Actual La Liga, actual football to talk about next week. See you then. Bye-bye.